unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. A lot of stuff to get into. NFL, NBA, definitely college football, with yet the latest firing taking place, the latest buyout taking place. Some of this stuff is absolutely extraordinary. It's a lot of stuff that we'll get into. But the first thing that I wanted to get into was this. The Steelers defense is just not good. I just want to get this out of the way. Some obvious stuff to get out of the way. Yes, the Indianapolis Colts look like the best team in football. We need to say that. We need to say that. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming. We don't know definitively whether to say the Buffalo Bills or the New England Patriots are the best team in the AFC East. But you know what we can't say either? We can't definitively rule out that the Baltimore Ravens won't capture the AFC North. They're 2-5. Since 1990, 11 teams have started out 2-5 and ended up making the playoffs. Just 11. But it's still 11. And when I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and that defense, I'm like, what the hell has happened? I watched the Green Bay Packers last night outscore the Pittsburgh Steelers 28-9 in the second half. I watched Jordan Love move the ball all over the field, looking like the second coming of Joe Montana. I watched Christian Watson make plays. I watched, you know, Kraft look like he's Travis Kelce or Gronk in his heyday. I watched that. I watched Aaron Rodgers watch a defense succumb to the Green Bay Packers and resemble nothing that we would expect from a team representing the Steel City. There's nothing steel or hardened about the Steelers' defense. They're soft as cottonelle tissue. Can't play man coverage. Struggle with zone coverage. Don't get to the quarterback. You got the second highest payroll. I'm sorry, the second oldest roster. You're paid about $155 to $165 million on the defense this offseason. TJ Watt got his bag. Cam Hayward got some additional dollars. Highsmith was there. Elliott was back. Slay was back. And they still look like trash. I don't understand what's happening. As a Steelers fan, I expected better. I haven't seen better. And I got to tell you something right now, I'm not happy about it at all. And when I look at this and I see it for what it is, it really, really, really makes me wonder about what the hell is going on with this team. What the hell has happened to a Steelers franchise that I've known, that I've loved for so long? Because they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And when we look at it from that standpoint, we got to look at them every single year and question and wonder, when will we see them win a playoff game? By far, what I'm telling, it ain't going to be this year. Ain't going to be this year. I mean, who are you going to beat? You ain't beat New England or Buffalo. You lucked up against New England earlier this year because they turned the ball over. They ain't happening again since New England. You going to beat the Indianapolis Colts? Not the Indianapolis Colts team I'm watching. They might blow you up out of here. Beat Kansas City ain't happening. Beat Denver ain't happening. You just look at the Steelers right now, it's very disappointing. And when we looked at them, we said, hey, here's the deal. What they really, really need is quarterback play. That's all. They get that together, they'll be just fine. That's what we said. And then Aaron Rodgers come here. No, he doesn't look like Mahomes. No, he doesn't look like Goff or somebody. No, he doesn't look like, hell, he ain't looking like Daniel Jones. But Aaron Rodgers has not looked bad. Aaron Rodgers has not been a problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers has shown up. Where the rest of them at? Where the rest of them at? Because I don't see it. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm very disgusted. Very disgusted. I'm disgusted with them damn Chicago Bears, too, albeit for different reasons. I'll get to them a little bit later. But they pissing me off, too. Okay? I'm just sick of blown opportunities. I'm sick of watching people not do what they're supposed to do. If somebody is just better, considerably better, and you're an inferior foe, fine, I get it. But when you messing up because you just seem incapable of doing your job at the right and opportune time, I'm not going to flow with that. I'm not going to flow with that. We're going to get on the Dallas Cowboys, right? And we're going to look at them yesterday, right? And we're going to sit up there and say, okay, you know what? They got an elite offense. They got a defense that sucks, whatever. I like Brian Schottenheimer. And I got to tell you something right now. As much as I like Brian Schottenheimer, I got to be the first to say this to y'all, loud and clear. It's very important that I say this to you. When I look at Brian Schottenheimer and the Dallas Cowboys, it simply comes down to this. Jerry Jones got to make a deal. I don't give a damn if you got to go out and get a Max Crosby. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm looking at Crosby. I'm looking at Trey Hendrickson from Cincinnati. No, you're not going to get Myles Garrett. Had 4-5 sacks yesterday. Okay? Against Drake May and those boys. You're not going to do that. You're not getting him. He's got a $100 million cap hit. That ain't going to work. But you got a chance to get a Crosby. You got a chance, real chance, to get a Hendrickson. And if you got a chance to get one of those cats, you Jerry Jones, you got to pull the trigger. Because when you look at the way, listen, Dak Prescott threw his interceptions yesterday. I'm so surprised. Stiff of competition on the road, Mile High City, Denver Broncos. I knew somebody would get him. This ain't the Washington Commanders you're going up against. This ain't Green Bay, who's got some weapons, but still ain't necessarily stellar defensively, even though they completely shut the Steelers down in the second half yesterday. It's not them. You look at the Dallas Cowboys. You got to get somebody to get to the passer. You don't need an elite defense to win if you're the Dallas Cowboys with that offense. What you need is more bites at the apple. Your defense that can get you at least stopped some of the time. A middle-of-the-road defense could propel the Dallas Cowboys, yes, I'm saying it, to an NFC championship game. Ain't going to happen because a black cat running around that franchise. But that could if they did the right things. If Jerry Jones and his hard-headed self would listen. This is on Jerry Jones because your defense is trash. And you need all the help you can get. You need somebody to get to the quarterback. And I can't help but imagine if you had somebody like Micah, who was a monster last night too, and over the last two games, one could easily say he played a big role in helping Green Bay win these last two games. Look, had 3 sacks last week. That Micah Parsons. If that Micah Parsons was on this Dallas Cowboy defense and they got some stops because they was getting to the opposing quarterbacks, how formidable would Dallas be with this offense? Because Pickens was already there. CeeDee Lamb was already there. If you don't sit up there and throw CeeDee Lamb into the backfield for a freaking running play against the Chicago Bears, which ultimately forced him that high ankle sprain that had him missing 3 to 4 weeks, what would Dallas's record be right now? Fair is fair. We know how much I love to troll Dallas Cowboy fans. We give a damn about them. Nothing pleases me more than seeing them smart crying during the holidays. I love it. Absolutely love it. And by the way, to the listening audience out there, I'm going to be down there invading Dallas next week. A week from today. That's right. I'm telling you in advance I'm coming. I'm doing First Take live from Dallas next Monday. I'm doing this show, the Stephen A. Smith Show, live from Dallas next Monday. And then I'm doing Monday Night Football. And hopefully by then, I completely get this Jabber Joe look off my face because I'm still going through the dental stuff, even though I'm feeling a little bit better than I was all last week. But I expect to be ready. I can't wait. But I'm telling you right now, Dallas would be no joke. Give him some help. With the weapons they've got, I didn't expect Devontae Williams to run the football the way that he's been running the football. Pickens and CeeDee Lamb together is elite. Ferguson's no joke. Your offensive line is not shabby. And Dak Prescott, up until yesterday, was playing like a top two league MVP candidate. Get a brother some help. Get some stops. Denver dropped 44 on them. Fourth time this year, Dallas has given up over 400 yards on offense. I mean, do something for them. Do something. This team right here, these Dallas Cowboys, I mean, Just awful defensively. Just awful. You got to do something. Passing defense, scoring defense, total defense, red zone defense. I don't do anything right defensively. And you see cats wide open. Got to do something. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call us 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Lots of stuff to get into. Make no mistake about it. I want to transition to college football. I have to do this. It really, really is necessary. Okay? There's really no way around it. It really is necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, word came down Sunday that Brian Kelly fired as head coach at LSU. It's his fourth season there. They thought it was time for him to go. For those of you who did not know, Saturday night, I was on the air Friday. And Brian Kelly, I said it for the record. He loses this game, he'll be done by the weekend. Go back and look at the tape. That's what I said. I said he loses this game, he'll be done for the week. He'll be done by the end of the weekend. Because it doesn't take much to see how things work, particularly in the SEC. Now, I knew they were going to lose to Texas A&M. Because I think this cat, Elko, is a hell of a coach. He's doing a hell of a job at Texas A&M and deserves a lot of credit coming over from Duke, of course. I expected them to beat LSU. On the road. What I didn't expect was for them to win 49-25. I didn't expect for them to score 35 straight points on the road in Death Valley in the second half. I didn't expect that. Okay? And ultimately, what we have to say in all fairness is that despite a 34-14 record overall in four seasons at LSU, that's a 71% of winning percentage. After you lose three of the past four games, all in the SEC, and you give up 35 straight points to open the second half, and you got a crowd departing from the stadium in the third quarter, students, let's get the hell up out of here and go party or something. We can't watch this no more. When you got that going on, and chants are serenaded from the stadium seats, fire Kelly, fire Kelly. I mean, that's bad. That's what was reverberating out of Tiger Stadium. And so overall, here's the key numbers to look at. 19-10 in SEC games. That's 66% wins. That ain't good enough. Not when you're leading LSU. 5-11 versus ranked opponents. You depart from Notre Dame, bloviating about how you needed access to more NIL money. You needed to be in a program devoid of restrictions. You needed to be able to go to a place like LSU that will come out of pocket, which they ultimately did by tripling your roster payroll this year to $18 million from what it was a year or two earlier with NIL dollars. You do all of that, $18 million budget for the 2025 roster. By the way, that's a combination of revenue that the athletic department can share with the players and donor-backed NIL deals. You get all of that, and then you turn around, and you losing like this. And this is the second year in a row. Remember, last year they were ranked eighth in the nation, and they nosedived by losing three straight double-digit games. This year, what they do? They lose three or four. They get bounced by Ole Miss. They beat South Carolina. They lose to Vanderbilt and then get trounced by Texas A&M with Alabama coming up next. They had to do this. Now, the name that I want everybody to recognize is Scott Woodard, either Woodard or Woodward, the athletic director at LSU. Because Brian Kelly is going to depart because he's owed about $54 million in buyout money. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the second largest buyout in college football history. Number one was Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, who was paid $76.8 million after they fired him in 2023. Do the math. That's $76.8 million plus $54 million. That's $130.8 million. $108.3 million. Ladies and gentlemen, both those dudes was hired by Scott Woodard. Now, I'm not saying the man should be fired. I'm not saying that. Because the man did hire a couple of cats that won a national championship for him at LSU. Remember, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, Nick Saban, all delivered national championships to LSU within their first 4 years there. No doubt about it. The man don't deserve to be fired. That's not what I'm saying. And Griff, is his name Woodard or Scott? I mean, Sean. Is his name Woodard or Woodward? Woodward. Scott Woodward. Get that right. Don't just put his picture up there, damn it. Put his name up there. I want to see how it's spelled, phonetically and everything. Make sure everybody knows. Because if this was a player, we'd be saying it. If this was a player, we'd be saying it. Can't let him off the hook. Let's be very, very clear. Let's be very, very clear. That's his name. He's the athletic director at LSU. $130.4 million. That's what two people are being paid not to coach. And he hired them both. I mean, damn. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else? Now, again, wherever he's at, I want to be very, very clear. I'm not saying the man should be fired. By all intended purposes, one would argue, you know, for the most part, he's done a good job at LSU. This is not to say anything. I'm just talking about the money. You paying out that kind of money, you know what we can say about him? He don't need to be asking for no damn raise and no Christmas bonuses. That much we know. That much we know. You don't need no raise, no Christmas bonus. No. You don't get a Christmas bonus. You don't get a raise. I don't give a damn about inflationary spending and all of this other stuff with education and everything else. You got to suffer. And you ain't got to lose your job now because you did more good than bad. But you can't have a school or two schools doling out $130 million off of your personal hires, and you don't get no blemish on it. Nah, it don't work that way, bro. It don't work that way. There anybody else, we talking about them, y'all. We talking about them. We talking about them. But Les Miles, Brian Kelly, he had to go. Just for y'all edification, Brian Kelly is the 10th FBS head coach to be fired this season. 10th. Bringing the total buyout sum to an estimated $170 million. Brian Kelly is number 10 at $54 million. Penn State and James Franklin is at $49.7 million. Florida's Bill Napier is at $21.2 million. Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy was at $15 million. Arkansas' Sam Pittman was at $9.8 million. UCLA's Deshaun Foster was at $6.43 million. Virginia Tech's Brent Pry was at $6 million. Oregon State's Trent Bragg was at $4 million. UAB's Trent Dilfer was at $2.4 million, and Colorado State's Jay Norville was at $1.5 million. This is the same institution that couldn't afford to pay these students all these years, huh? Look at this money. Look at this money. If you have it now for payout and buyout purposes, right, with NIL, transfer portal, and all of this stuff going on, and clearly the pockets of the NCAA being severely compromised by these new deals because the athletes are now getting paid to some degree. If you have this money now, that means you had it all along. And if you had just done the right thing, the game wouldn't be compromised the way that it is now with coaches feeling like they extorted. Because you'd have done the right thing, and you wouldn't have senators like Ted Cruz and Senator Cory Booker, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, fighting for either side just to get this whole NIL transfer portal NCAA deal in the orbit and organized. So to save college sports, I'm fully intended on having both of them on this show, by the way, to discuss those two issues. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But it's necessary, y'all. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. What's up? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about right here. You can't do this, but that's what they did, and that's why they're paying the price now. Triple A Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. We got into some NFL. We're getting into some college football. Austin Reeves for the Los Angeles Lakers, the best third option in basketball for a vast majority of last year, was the number one option with LeBron James and Luka Doncic being out against the Sacramento Kings, and a brother dropped 51 on them last night. Give him praise and props for that all day, every day. But how the hell you got a team with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine on your squad? With the Sacramento Kings, and you going to let Austin Reeves drop 51 on y'all. What's up? As a number one option. I mean, then how that happen? I don't know if I can look at Sacramento the rest of the same the rest of the season. Then they call a call back last week raving about Sacramento Kings and what they were going to do this year, and you let Austin Reeves bust your ass for 51 points. He can play now. Ain't throwing no shade on Austin Reeves. But 51, that ain't LeBron. That ain't Luka. It's Austin Reeves. I mean, how am I supposed to look at Sacramento after that? How? Victor Wembanyama is another matter. Ladies and gentlemen, that brother's coming. I'm sorry, he's here. It's entirely plausible that Victor Wembanyama might win Defensive Player of the Year and League MVP this year. This year. It's like that. 7'5" with a handle, a three-point shot, get to the rim, boogie on you, can go around you, can dunk over you, and swatting everything out of the air in his vicinity. Had 10 blocks. This brother, it's next level. 7'5". You can't teach 7'5". I can't knock him. 7'5". But my God, is this brother special. So we definitely going to get into that. Of course, World Series Game 3 is coming up after the Dodgers got shut down and Snell couldn't last, and they got to the Dodgers bullpen and six runs were given up in one nine runs rather in one inning. Okay, Yamamoto comes out there in game two for the Dodgers and pitches one run baseball, complete game, shut the Blue Jays down. Spectacular performance. Now game three is tonight, so it's a lot to get into tonight. There's no way around it. We're going to talk about it all right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. SiriusXM.com/GetSerious is the place to go to leave in your voicemail messages. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's the way to go. And also to call in the 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with y'all in a minute.